Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and celebrating together this great season of Easter, the celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the beginning of the new creation. The only source of ultimate hope for the human race is the person of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of his body, and his rising to glory at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He is our hope of glory, and hope for glory, as Paul tells us in Colossians 1:27. The riches of this mystery is what we want to dive into today, the mystery of Christ's passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them on whatever device works for you to listen to them at your leisure. You can also go to Ave Maria Radio and access the programs there at any point. So yesterday, I just reflected on a section from the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel, which is Luke's account of Jesus' first resurrection appearance to the apostles. And it's a very important passage because it's also connected to the Acts of the Apostles, which I mainly want to talk about this week as the church gives us these amazing readings from the first few chapters of Acts here at the beginning of the season, the celebration of Easter. We see the unfolding of the mission and the great commission that Jesus had put on the apostles, had given them the understanding in Luke chapter 24, what was going to be the essence of their proclamation. There's a beautiful line there where Luke said that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus taught the apostles in that moment when he appeared to them. He helped them understand because they were shaken by what they saw. The last time they had seen him, he was hanging on a cross, bleeding to death, was being mocked and ridiculed, and they were running to protect their lives. They didn't know, ultimately, that he was going to rise from the dead. They had an understanding at some level, but they're wondering if it was true and everything about the great promise that was Jesus himself, was it all for naught now? Was he going to remain in the grave? And they were shaken. So Jesus comes to them and he appears to them and he opens their minds to the teaching of the prophets, the psalmists, the patriarchs, all of which pointed to the coming of Jesus, of the coming of the Messiah, and the fact, Jesus tells them, that the Messiah must suffer. There's a lot to that. That wasn't the anticipation of many of the Jewish teachers and leaders of the time, that the Messiah would suffer and die. Many thought he would come and he would conquer. He'd be a ruler. He'd establish the kingdom again. But instead, Jesus said, pay attention to what the scriptures actually said. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, lots of passages, figures in the Old Testament, Jonah in the belly of the whale for 3 days, Isaac being sacrificed, Abraham willing to sacrifice his own son. There's so much there, typology of types in the Old Testament that were pointing to the fulfillment of all of it in the person of Jesus, the Messiah. It's important for us to see that it's Jesus who opens up the scripture for all of his apostles, his disciples. That means you and that means me. It's Jesus who gave us this word. It's Jesus who gave the Holy Spirit. Father and the Son gave the Holy Spirit who inspired the writers of this word. And it's the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, as in a temple, as children of God. It's that same Holy Spirit that wants to open your mind and mine to the meaning of the scripture and what's unfolding. So Jesus in Luke 24 told the apostles that it was right that he should suffer. It was clearly predicted, foretold, and that he would rise so that repentance and forgiveness could be preached to all nations in the name of Jesus. So that the central message is forgiveness is being offered to the human race. Why? Because the human race needs it. Because every single human being is, as St. Paul would say later, is under sin, under the domination of sin. That is, we've cooperated with sin and sin's at work in us. And it's put us in a position of enmity with God, being enemies of God, being separated from God and all that God wants to give us. So he sends his son to deal with the sin problem that produces that separation, which is death. And he makes it possible for us now in his own body, in his own life, to become part of the new creation, to become sons and daughters of God. So John the Apostle would say, he gave us power to become children of God. So Jesus told the apostles, preach the gospel, preach forgiveness of sins, call people to repentance, preach it in my name. The last thing he said to him was, but wait, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. The promise is the promised Holy Spirit. The prophet Isaiah, the prophet Jeremiah, the prophet Ezekiel, others talked about God would give us a new heart. He would put his Spirit within us. He would put the law of God's love within each one of our hearts. And that's fulfilled now in the same Spirit that was in Jesus, that raised Jesus from the dead now, has been poured out, and we see it unfolding at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2. After Jesus, first in chapter 1, he's meeting with the apostles for the last time. He's about to ascend to the right hand of the Father. He says to them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit's about to come upon you. Jesus called it being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father, and Peter proclaims in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, he comes forward preaching the message of repentance in the name of Jesus, talking about who Jesus is, that he died, and that he rose again from the dead, so that forgiveness of sins can be preached throughout the world. And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father now, and God has made this one, Jesus, Mary's son, Lord in Christ. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. The destiny of all of creation is in the hands of Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of all. He's the final judge who will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And now a time of mercy has come upon the world with Jesus having won the victory and is now at the right hand of the Father. He's pouring out his mercy in the form of the Holy Spirit. He's offering baptism. He's offering a new creation. He's offering a share in his life. And St. Peter said, he can do that because he is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one, the one filled with the Spirit. So he can give his Spirit so that the new creation can be extended to human beings throughout human history till he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Peter said to those he preached to that day, because he's Lord, because he's Christ, because everything he said to us is vindicated in his resurrection, and everything he said is going to come to pass, and that he's now offering this mercy to us, he said, repent, turn away from your sins, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is the foundation of Christianity. This is its core. This is what it's all about. This is what it means to become children of God. As John said, he gave us power to become children of God. Where does that happen? It happens in our hearing the gospel proclaimed, the good news coming to us. And by the grace of God, we receive it. It's the Holy Spirit who opens this message of the apostles, because it's the Holy Spirit who sent on mission by the Father and the Son to reveal to every human heart the mystery of God's plan revealed in Jesus Christ, who Paul will say later, it is, what is this mystery? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the Messiah in the Spirit, in you, as in a temple, giving you power to become a child of God. And Christ in you is your hope. It's your hope of sharing in the glory which belongs to Jesus, which the Holy Spirit reveals to us in the preaching of the church, in the unfolding of that great mystery. So this is the first thing we see in the Acts of the Apostles. It's what the Spirit led them to do, and it's precisely what Jesus told them to do in Luke chapter 24, in the first resurrection appearance. So it's important for us to see what's the essence of the faith, because too often today, Jesus and the message that he brought and the apostles preach is obscured. It's reduced to a kind of horizontal plane. It's reduced to a message of being kind and good to our neighbor, to commit ourselves to what's part of the mission of the apostles and all disciples, to the works of social justice. Absolutely important. Absolutely a part of the mission of the church. But what can happen is, with the temptation to accommodate to the broader culture and to want to soften the sharp edges of Jesus' claims about who he is, and this radical preaching of the offer of the forgiveness of sins for the salvation of the world, and the entire uniqueness of Jesus. There is no religious leader like Jesus. There's no historical character like Jesus. He's the only Son of God. He's the only Savior of the world. He's the only one who can deal with the problem of sin and death, which is the first thing the church is concerned about. Cardinal Stafford, I think years ago, gave a talk which for me was kind of helpful. He said, the church brings the charity of truth and the charity of bread to the world. That is, the church, what is the charity of bread? The church seeks to care for the needs of the poor, to bring justice where it's needed, to bring justice into an unjust world, to do whatever we can to bring the kingdom concretely into daily life and to influence the world we live in. Absolutely a key part of what it means to be a disciple. But he said the charity of truth, which is everything the apostles are proclaiming here in the Acts of the Apostles, the truth that the human race stands in desperate need for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. The first thing that the church is concerned about is the sin-sick condition of the human heart. Our first concern is not just trying to help unjust political structures become just. That's part of the work of disciples and apostles and why we get involved in politics and we're engaged in this world, no question about it. But what's of utmost importance, what's of first importance, is what the apostles preached. It's what Jesus told them to preach. He didn't say in Luke 24 to them, he didn't say, look, I'm opening up the scripture, and the most important thing you can do right now is to go to Rome and to convince the emperor of a more just way of governing society. Or to go to the emperor and say, it's your duty to feed the poor. That's not the first thing Jesus wants us, the church, to keep in mind. It's not an either or, it's a both and. But what's of primary importance is the charity of truth. Because what ultimately Jesus came to do is to free us from the powers of sin and death, from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to make it possible for us to become children of God and to enter into the family of God and to live with God the Father forever. That's the first concern of the church. It's presumed today in too many circumstances, and it's not preached confidently and with great power enough, because what happens is the message gets reduced to social work. We become like, the church becomes like a big social institution that exists to fix the world. Well, that's not really what the church ultimately is. The church exists to make disciples of Jesus, to tell the whole world that God has sent his Son into the world to save us from the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to give us eternal life through the forgiveness of sins, and that every single person stands in need of that forgiveness. There's no one, Scripture says, who is good. No one stands before God on their own merits. It's the mercy of God that's offered to us in the passion, life, death, resurrection of Jesus, and his ascension into glory, and the offer in baptism, the preaching of the church, to share in that glory. We'll take up more of the apostles' preaching tomorrow. Hope you can join us. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.